back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes, Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now here's your host, Lance Medem.
So the Eagles hold on and hand the Giants their second loss of the season as the Giants fall to 2-2. Lawrence Tynes had two opportunities for a 50-yard field goal, and he falls short as Andy Reid called the timeout on the first one and the second one. Bob Papa had mentioned it possibly was tipped. It was hard for me to tell from the replays, but the bottom line is Lawrence Tynes was not able to come through. But it goes even beyond Tynes and not cashing in on the field goals. Ramsey's barred in. I know this play is going to be dissected for days and months to come. Offensive pass interference called on Barden. It was 2nd and 9 from the Philly 26. So the Giants are clearly within Tynes' field goal range. And Manning throws deep down the right sideline, goes to Barden, and they call Barden offensive pass interference. He clearly had his hands around the defender, referring to the Eagles player, and there was some contact on the face mask. It's one of those plays where you felt as if it was somewhat of a makeup for the Asamoah pass interference call, which to me was also a very borderline call that was forced on the Eagles. So perhaps the officials picked the wrong time, obviously, from the Giants fans' perspective for making up that call. It was very borderline. I'd say both calls were extremely borderline, especially since throughout the course of the game, they had let both teams get away with an awful amount of contact. That's why it was a little surprising that the officials changed their, you know, point of view in the final 2 minutes of the game compared to how they called the game for all of the previous quarters. It's disturbing because these are the types of calls that wind up determining the outcome of a contest. But at the end of the day, you know, you could point back to other opportunities that the Giants had to potentially avoid an offensive pass interference call. For example, the bad hike between Boss and Manning. That was a ground ball that he gave to Manning, and Manning had no option but to throw the ball away. You get a cleaner give and take between the center and the quarterback. Who knows what the Giants could potentially gain on that, and then you could pick up an additional first down. Your strategy changes, maybe work in a run. So there's a lot of things that didn't go right for the Giants. That goes without saying. And number two, which was a little surprising, given that there were 15 seconds remaining on the clock, I thought maybe the Giants would have taken an opportunity to get a sideline pass in before they sent Lawrence Tynes out there. You don't want to sacrifice not having an opportunity for a field goal, but at the end of the day, you want to at least give Lawrence Tynes an opportunity to be well within his range and make it easier on your kicker. And just the things did not add up right for the Giants down the stretch. And as a result, it's a heartbreaking loss for the Giants as they fall to 2-2 and the Eagles improve to 3-1 and the Cowboys play tomorrow night. So we still don't know who is going to be walking away with first place in the division when it's all said and done. But the bottom line is the Eagles are in front and the Giants are looking up at them, and the Eagles, compared to the Giants, are not 0-2 in the division, which is the one that hurts the most. It's not so much that the Giants are 2-2, because there's a lot more football ahead, but when it comes down to tiebreakers and all of these other situations, the fact that the Giants are already in an 0-2 hole against their divisional opponents could very well hurt them down the stretch. Though they will play those two opponents later on in the season, you want to be able to win close games, especially ones that you're within striking distance. And this was definitely a game that the Giants could have won. And I would even take away what transpired in the final couple of minutes on that final drive. How about when you're first and goal from the 10 and Eli Manning throws an interception to Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie? If you walk away with a touchdown there, perhaps the Giants are not even in this situation because you're forcing Philly to score a touchdown on the possession prior and not allow them to settle for a field goal. Now, Michael Vick took that sack because he knew, you know what, at the end of the day, we just need 3 points. We don't need to necessarily punch it in the end zone. And that, I think, changes the philosophy of a game. It's all about execution. Which team makes mistakes and which team doesn't? The Eagles did not make any mistakes. They protected the football today. This was a team that came in with a -6 turnover differential. 12 turnovers, 6 picks, 6 fumbles. They protected the football, and they protected Michael Vick. Other than that sack where he basically gave up on the play, they kept Vic upright. He took some hits, but he got rid of the ball very quickly, just as Tampa Bay and just as Dallas did earlier on in the season. That seems to be the philosophy when playing the Giants. We know they have a strong front four, so the way to get around that, the way to counter that, is to get rid of the football quickly, and that's exactly what Michael Vick did today. And LeSean McCoy, who had a quiet first half, the Giants did a really nice job containing him. He ran wild in the second half. I mean, it was drive after drive where it seemed it was too easy for Philadelphia to move the football up and down the field. Every time the Giants either put a touchdown on the board or score a field goal, the Eagles responded. And they made it look really easy. And it wasn't necessarily just the running game, but the reason why Vic was able to get a pass play here or there was because of the running game. And it wasn't as if McCoy or the Eagles were running anything fancy. McCoy's got tremendous speed and versatility, and he was able to elude a lot of tackles tonight. But when guys are in their gaps, they've got to make plays. There's no reason why the Giants shouldn't have allowed the Eagles to face a third down on that final drive prior to the sack. Now, this was when the Giants were up 17-16. They had put together a 5-play, 83-yard drive. Still plenty of time. But the Eagles, thanks to McCoy, a 15-yard run, a 7-yard run, a 4-yard run. And then you mix in a Macklin pass for 7, Vic ran for 13, and a pass to Celek for 8. Not one third down that the Giants forced the Eagles to face. And this was a defense that, as I mentioned, kept the Eagles in check for pretty much the entire first half, with the exception of that DeSean Jackson touchdown late in the first half that put them up 7-0. The Giants had responded. It was 7-3 at the break. McCoy did basically nothing on the ground. At one point, he had 4 carries for 1 yard. And to have over 100 yards in the second half alone, I mean, that says something about the Giants' defense. There were definitely breakdowns on defense tonight. And they were banged up in the secondary, but they were not banged up in that front four group. And McCoy was just weaving in and out of traffic. He finished up with 23 carries for a 123. And then in addition to that, he had 3 catches for 17 yards. So they didn't really use him a lot in the screen game. DeSean Jackson had a big game, 6 catches, 99, and a touchdown. He has a big history against the Giants, so that's not necessarily a surprising development. And Vic had 241 yards through the air. He was 19 of 30. But a lot of their pass plays were within that 10-yard measurement. That was the big thing, because LeSean McCoy did the dirty work. The Giants just had no answer for him. And as a result, they fall 19-17. Tom Coughlin's at the podium. We're going to hear what he has to say, get some player reaction, and then we'll take your phone calls when we get back. Let's hear from the head coach, Tom Coughlin.
And we had trouble running the ball ourselves, obviously. We did make some plays as we came down through the second half, but too little, not enough. The decisions as we went in, we were in field goal range. And when we got the offensive pass interference, which, you know, really put it all the way back to about the very, very limit of where we could try. And then, of course, the clock became a factor, and I couldn't afford to take a chance on the clock running out before we were able to spike the ball, so we went for the long field goal, and just a little bit too long. We played hard. It was a tough ball game on both sides. I really did believe we would do some damage on kickoff return, and we did. We got ourselves great field position, and you would have thought with that kind of field position we would have had more points. Give them credit defensively for the job they did. Again, we gave ourselves a chance to win. We didn't win it, and it's very difficult. I feel very badly for the guys, the players in that locker room. They did work extremely hard and played hard. It wasn't always smart, but we played hard. And, we did have some holding penalties that hurt us in the first half particularly. And we'll have to look at that. Questions? I think for both teams, for our drive, the one drive that was a real good, well-balanced drive, we were able to run it, and the run and the pass, and then we were able to hit the big play there for the touchdown. They ran the ball well, and they did a good job of keeping the quarterback out of those real difficult situations. And when he was in those situations, he ran the ball instead of throwing it. And here's a team that had 12 turnovers, and we didn't get one. And quite frankly, we were counting on that. We're counting on some field position by virtue of turnover, so you give them credit for that as well. But the combination of running the ball for as much yardage as they did, and the quarterback sensing on occasion the coverage and running, or sensing the lack of contain and running outside and picking up valuable yardage. So I think... the combination of the run for them, our run, we had one good drive with the run, but after that it was mostly pass. Well, it is, but his mind is all in going up and getting the ball. You know, I don't know what his thought process was. He's trying to make a play. The defender was in very good position. You know, I was worried when I saw the flag come out how that was going to be called, you know, because of the contact that was made and who initiated it. So it is a tough call. It's a tough situation. He's got to go make a play on the ball anyway. If the ball is in position, he'd have to knock it away, you know. Well, there was a number of things. We had options on either side of the field in the quarter. Eli decided to take the X receiver, and it didn't work out. But that wasn't the only option. No, we were in field goal range at one time, and the thought of running and then clocking the ball was a definite thought, and we were, quite frankly, That was what we were doing on the next snap, but we never got to that. It's always a woulda, coulda, shoulda, you know. When you do run like that, there is, you know, you're going to waste downs, and then you're going to have the thought of probably ending up kicking it right from that spot, which would have been obviously much better than it was back at making it a 54-yarder. The thing that's difficult there is obvious. We had to take the timeouts at the other end of the field, and so we marched with no timeouts and did a decent job of that, and tried to continue to move it closer so that the field goal was a very makeable one. Lawrence has done an outstanding job this year, and so we tried to what we thought were safe calls, and the pass interference was. It was one of those things that you just, when you saw it happen, you know, you just shake your head because you're right back where you started from. No, not and clock the ball, not the way that was going. You'd have to throw it out of bounds, and I don't know why they would let you do that. So, I was worried that. You know, that we would make some kind of play in bounds and then not be able to, not have enough time to clock it. We was less time. That reinforced it. You know, this is our only avenue right now. I thought they'd run it against us tonight. I had a very good, very strong idea that they would. We shut it down for a long time. And they started, you know, the cutback runs were just, I have to look at this. I can't imagine all the yards was made on missed tackles and cutback runs and that kind of thing.
We're here in the Giants locker room. Bob Pop is about to talk to Giants quarterback Eli Manning.
Right, Eli Manning just getting dressed in the Eli Manning post-game interview brought to you by Toyota, the official vehicle of the New York Giants. How frustrating with the way this game ended, moving the ball down the field and then having it get moved back.
Yeah, you know, it's just, you don't ever think about that happening, getting a penalty to move us back 15 yards right there, you know, kind of not to take a sack, you know, not to turn the ball over, force anything into a crowd. So just an unfortunate situation. I thought our team fought hard. It wasn't easy. We had to earn every yard that we got, but we fought hard. Just fell a little short.
Well, as you're looking at that play on the play to Barden, what are you seeing as far as a matchup?
Just man, you know, it's man to man, and so try to get closer or try to score. I don't know what yard line, around the 23 yard line maybe or so. So. You know, that's still a pretty good kick, and try to get a little closer. Looking back on it, got corners over the top. I probably should have thrown it, back shoulder, and not throw it, so far down the field where it puts the receiver in a bad position.
On the interception that Dominic Rogers Kamari had, was it a situation where you didn't see him?
Yeah, I just didn't see him. You know, we kind of put a play in, hoping he was on a jump, Victor on the curl route, and he did not. He just sat back there. But I just, did not see him, and so I just can't afford to make that throw when you don't see him.
Thanks, Eli.
Thanks a lot.
Well, let's send it over to John Schmelk at Ramsey's Partner Locker.
There were a number of plays he was looking to you in that last drive. What about those two defensive pass interference calls? What were you trying to do in those, and did you feel those were fair calls?
Honestly, I don't even remember. I got over watching it. The last little bit of the game happened fast. We fought hard. We just didn't come up with enough. I need to find a way to do more.
How disappointing is it to be right there at the end of the football game and lose down here?
Got no idea. It's tough on the swallow, but we get another shot at them again. We just find the holes, the places that we missed, and hopefully we take advantage of the opportunities that we didn't take advantage of today. And I'm going to be the most diligent person myself, watching the tape and finding plays to improve and help the team win.
I imagine that final play, Ramsey, you're trying to gulp and make a play on the ball the best you can. Look like the cornerback had pretty good position on you.
It was tough. I got to go watch it. He had decent position. I'm trying to make a play, but, I guess I got my arm on him.
Looked like the offense had a hard time finding its footing the first quarter and a half. Then you really turned it on. What changed that allowed you guys to have so much success later in the game?
We got a lot of talent on this team, and we work hard. We prepare well. It took us a while to find our stride, but we found it. The running game got going. Passing game got going. Eli found the stride. But you always expect that out of him. He comes to play every day, and we got so many talented guys around him that we're going to find ways to compete. We just got to finish.
How do you react when the flag is thrown and when you realize what the call is?
I don't know. It was, I guess, a little bit of a surprise for us, but it happens. They threw it. You gotta move on. Next play.
That's Giants wide receiver Ramsey's Barn over to Bob Pop at the locker room. Matthias Kiwanuka.
We know that we're going to see again, but we would love to have had this one as a win. Got to tip your hat to them. They made the plays when they needed to, but this one hurts.
How frustrating does that get when you guys seem to play them down to the final minutes all the time, and just for some reason or the other, I haven't been able to pull these down?
That's not the frustrating part. The frustrating part is just not coming out with the win. We enjoy playing a tough opponent and having these games that come down to the end like that, because that's football. That's the division that we're in. That's that tough, gritty football that we're used to playing. Now we'd like to get those wins at the end, but that's the only part that hurts.
Matthias, did they make any kind of changes in what they did with their running game in the first half? You held McCoy to, I think, 6 yards on six carries or so, something like that. What changed in the second half?
He started breaking. you know what? I'd have to go back to the film and look to see exactly what they did different. There was definitely a sense of urgency on their part that maybe we didn't match. As far as schematically, I mean, they went to more 21 personnel. That's all I could think of. But, you know, regardless of what it is they're doing, we have to be able to match our intensity. I think that was the main thing we didn't do.
How is it to start the division 0-2?
But we've been here before. I mean, we'll just have to adjust the rest of the season and know that, you know, every divisional game that we play from here on out has the utmost importance to it.
All right, that's Matthias Kalinowski.
All right, back here on Giants.com, Lance Meadow with you. Our Giants.com postgame extra, 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. We heard from head coach Tom Coughlin. In case you're just joining us, he basically explained he was concerned there wasn't going to be enough time remaining to set up for a field goal if they did not get out of bounds in time. So as a result, he sent out Lawrence Tynes on third down to attempt that 54-yarder. He missed the one in which Andy Reid called the timeout. The second attempt came up short as well, and the Giants fall to the Eagles 19-17 on the road. They fall to 2-2 overall, 0-2 in the division. You also heard from Eli Manning and Ramses Barden on the pass interference call, and Matthias Kiwanuka reflected on the team's struggles in stopping LeSean McCoy in the second half, but just could not pinpoint exactly what they changed from a schematic perspective. The bottom line is Tom Coughlin, I think, hit it right on the nose. A lot of cutback runs in the second half by McCoy, a lot of missed tackles, and a lot of missed assignments in terms of gap control. That's basically what sums up their struggles in limiting LeSean McCoy from doing so much damage on the ground. We're going to open up the phone lines here for the next hour, 201-939-4513, and we start with Zeke in Virginia. Zeke, what's going on?
Lance, can't hear me, Lance.
I hear you loud and clear, Zeke.
I am beyond frustrated right now. I mean, I don't know how many times LeSean McCoy has to cut it back till they get in their head, just stay home. That's all they have to do is just stay home. This guy is a dancer. That's all he does is dances. Wait for somebody to mess up here and there, and then he's gone. I mean, every time he runs to one side, I am yelling, stay home. They do it a couple of times, then they stopped doing it. Jason Pierre-Paul, I think, did it a couple times. Then LeSean McCoy just started breaking loose. And I'm tired of giving the Eagles these games, Lance. It's about time we stepped up in a full quarter, and just we had that game right there. All we had to do was run the ball. Why are we throwing a fade in field goal position? Everybody knows, who's a Giants fan, should know Lawrence Tynes, over 50 yards is 50-50. He is not the guy from the Raiders, the kicker. He's very shaky beyond 50 yards. Now, above 50 yards, yeah, he would have made that kick. I know he would have. But beyond it, why are we not? Oh, my gracious, Lance. I'm just heated right now. I don't know what to say right now. We keep giving them the game. I'm tired of losing to the Eagles. This is what? The ninth game out of the eighth out of ninth game, we lost them or something like that. That's ridiculous. We gotta find a way to step it up. I hope we just come back and beat the Browns on next Sunday, because I'm mad. You have a good night, Lance.
All right, Zeke.
For a little while, then I'm going to bed.
All right, appreciate the phone call, Zeke, and I can understand his frustration. I'm sure a lot of Giants fans out there are frustrated as well, as this did end in heartbreaking fashion. And there were opportunities to be made that you can make the argument as to why the Giants even put themselves in this situation. And I pinpoint the one in which Eli Manning and company are in the red zone, and he throws an interception to Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. And Manning, we just heard earlier via the Giants radio network, saying he didn't see Cromartie all of a sudden dip underneath. The pass was intended for Martellus Bennett in the left corner. Manning maybe threw it a little bit higher. Perhaps it would have been out of danger. But, you know, those were points they left off the board. I mean, that could have been an opportunity to get a touchdown, pad the lead, and force the Eagles into a situation where they didn't have to settle for a field goal. They had to go for a touchdown. That really changes the entire game plan aspect when you get down the stretch in the fourth quarter. And respect to the play calling in that last possession, it was Let me see here. It was first and 10 from the Philadelphia 27, and they ran off a draw, Bradshaw for a yard. So that set up second and 9, so they're at the Philadelphia 26. You're in field goal range. This is definitely a makeable opportunity for Lawrence Tynes, and Manning aired it out on this play and went deep down the right sideline to Barden. And Barden, I mean, there was clear contact between he and Asamoah. It looked as if Barden bear hugged him. So I can understand why the officials made that call. It's really hard to sit here and say what was the official thinking. There was clear contact. I mean, Barden put his hands around Asamoah. He put his hands on the helmet and face mask of Asamoah. It's understandable why the officials made the call. I know it's very hard for Giants fans out there to digest that call. But if you look at the replay, there was contact there. Now, you can maybe make the argument, well, maybe the official should have said to himself, there was a lot of contact leading up to the play, there was a lot of contact earlier, they let some things go, they called some things, maybe have a no-call in that situation. But the official was right in front of that play, and he saw Barden put his hands around Asamoah. So it was a tough no-call to swallow if you're the official in that situation. Now, you can make the argument, you're at the Philadelphia 26, it's 2nd and 9, maybe run another play, pick up some positive yardage, and then leave it up to Lawrence Tynes. Because the concern was all basically leaving enough time on the clock for Tynes and the offense and the special teams, I should say, to get settled to even get a field goal opportunity. That's why Coughlin did not want to run another play on 3rd and 19 before he took his chances that there was going to be enough time out there for 4th and 19. So even if you ran a play, you'd still be in the same situation where you would take just as much time off the clock if you would have thrown the ball. It's really a catch-22 in that situation. I don't think there would have been any harm in running the ball, lining up, spiking it, and then setting up your field goal kicker. And listen, hindsight's 20-20 at the end of the day. They wanted to be more aggressive, and they wanted to really ensure that would be a chip shot for Tynes. And unfortunately, Barden got a little too over-aggressive himself, gave the officials an opportunity to call pass interference. And that's why the Giants, unfortunately, were backed up and fell short, 19-17 the final. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. We go to Drew in Virginia. Drew, what you got?
Hey, Lance, first and foremost, man, I have to echo everything Zeke said, man. I mean, that's just hard to swallow, and it just seems like we find ways to lose to this Eagles team. This game cost me remote control tonight, by the way. But at any rate, man, with regards to Barden, I'm not going to blame this loss on Barden, not at all. Also, man, you know, just to let you know, I'm sure you know this anyway, I'm a huge Eli Manning fan. I mean, Eli's my man. He's going to always be my man. You always hear me talk about him. But that said, I'm going to have to lay this loss on Eli, because prior to that Barden play, I have no earthly idea why he needed to go that far down the field anyway. We was already in field goal range. You take the short pass, you get in there, and then you get set up. You know, if he doesn't, if the Giants don't get greedy, we're not in that situation. That's the biggest problem that I have. I just have a hard time swallowing the decision making that was made by Eli and or the offensive coordinator, because again, we didn't need to get greedy. We didn't need a touchdown. A field goal would have won that game. At any rate, I'm like everybody else. I'm sick. This is a game we should have won. And we found a way to lose, period.
All right, Drew, appreciate the phone call. And listen, it's valid criticism. I'm not really going to argue that point. I can understand your feeling. Listen, take the conservative route, run the football, or go for the short pass. You're already in field goal range. You're within the range that Lawrence Tynes is comfortable. You don't need to really be that over-aggressive in that situation, and that's fair. And maybe even if Tom Coughlin and company look back at the tape, maybe they'll say, if they had another do-over opportunity, they probably wouldn't have been as aggressive. Or maybe it was Eli Manning taking it upon himself to really try to seal this game with a deep pass. It's hard to say, because remember, they give Eli Manning a lot of flexibility in the play calling. So the play call that was initially sent into the huddle could have been for either a run, or it could have been for an underneath route, something short, just pick up positive yardage, don't turn the ball over, and let's get Lawrence Tynes a makeable opportunity. And instead, he saw maybe Barden has a mismatch, had some space off the initial route, then Asamoah recovers, and he took his chances. But, you know, if you even want to put it on Manning, I'm going to keep pointing to the interception in the red zone, because that, to me, was a big missed opportunity. There were some penalties that hurt them early on. Martellus Bennett, if you recall, has a 38-yard grab, and that is canceled out by a Locklear holding penalty, a Beattie holding penalty, excuse me. Locklear had one later, and that even takes them out of field goal range. So there were a lot of points that were left off the board. You get three here, you get three there, you get seven here. It's not coming down, perhaps, to this type of a situation. So I can understand the level of frustration in terms of the play calling, the decision making, the time management aspect in the fourth quarter. That really is put under the magnifying glass, given they were in an opportunity to win the ball game. But let's not overlook the factors from earlier in the contest that also they could have had a little bit more of a comfort zone had they executed. Right from the start of this game, this was the complete opposite of the Panthers game. The Panthers game, they came out, they delivered that knockout punch earlier. They set the tempo early. They punched it in when they had those opportunities. Today, again, red zone issues, and even missed opportunities to at least, at worst, walk away with 3 points. And in a game like this, when you lose by two, you'd like to have those three-point opportunities back, because that clearly is the difference between winning and losing a football game, especially a divisional game that right now we truly don't know the implications of. At this point, it is too early to tell. A couple of weeks from now, you may be brushing off this loss. The team may be brushing off this loss. Right now, though, the fact that they're 500 and they're 0-2 in the division, and we know how close this race is within the division, you can't let opportunities like this slip away. So right now it hurts, but it's still way too early to see the true implications that are at stake for a loss like this. Especially since, remember, the two teams that they lost to, they still have another shot at. Dallas Cowboys, they got to go visit, and the Eagles are going to come to MetLife Stadium. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Steve in Connecticut. Steve, what's happening?
Lance, what's going on, man? The Hennessy Wolf, man, I'm sober now. as much as I want to blame it on Eli and the interception and all that, I want to take it the other way. Let's blame the defense, because in all reality, Eli brought us back for that 17-16 lead. All the defense had to do was come through and get a three and out or a stop or something. They couldn't even stop them.
That's a good point, Steve. They certainly struggled defensively, and I pointed to that drive that Philly got the go-ahead field goal with, where Philly did not face a third down other than the exception of when Michael Vick took a sack. It was one big run after the other for LeSean McCoy. A lot of missed tackles, a lot of defensive breakdowns. You're right. You know, the defense also, let's not excuse them from this situation. They had opportunities to perhaps make a stop, and then Philly doesn't get a field goal. I mean, when it's all said and done, it's not as if the Eagles got into the end zone time in and time out, but they moved the chains enough to continually put points on the board. Henry had 4 field goals tonight. They only had 1 touchdown, which was the DeSean Jackson grab. Outside of that, it was pretty much one field goal after another. But how did they get in field goal range? It was basically because McCoy was constantly moving the chains on the ground, and then all of a sudden you got to account for the run, so Michael Vick has his opportunities to take his chances down the field or maybe in short field situations, and that's why methodically they continually carved up the Giants' defense. They could have made a stop. Even if it was one stop, who knows? That could have very well been the difference tonight.
Yeah, and I think also going back to the defense, I think they was over-aggressive. Almost sack doesn't count as a sack, but if they did what they were supposed to do, Vic probably should have been sacked at least 6 times tonight. I think they just was a little over-aggressive on that.
Well, there were missed opportunities, Steve, but I don't know if it was necessarily over-aggressive. It was just maybe being a step too late. I mean, Will Hill had a hit on Vic. Vic just got rid of the football. You're right. A second earlier, Hill probably takes him down for a loss of about 5 or 6 yards. And there were other opportunities. Mathias Kiwanuka had a golden matchup on LeSean McCoy, if you recall, on that touchdown pass to DeSean Jackson. Mathias Kiwanuka on paper, or not even on paper, in reality, I mean, that's a huge advantage for the Giants. You got to run over the running back. You got to get to the quarterback. So that was another missed opportunity. And there were other close calls. Antrel Roll had victory.
Yeah, he got tripped. He got tripped.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, you add those things up. I don't know if that was over-aggressiveness, because remember, coming in, Let's not forget, the Eagles turned the ball over 12 times. Vic was sacked 9 times. And he's made a lot of boneheaded mistakes in the red zone. So if you're the Giants, you got to test this offensive line early. I think the strategy early worked. They got Vic flustered. They did get their fair share of hits. You're right. The sacks didn't add up tonight. But you know what? You had to test them early. In the long run, it wasn't them being over-aggressive. It was a matter of them being caught off guard from their gap assignments and sometimes falling from McCoy's movements. You know, McCoy was going right. He's very quick, and sometimes you just got to tip your cap to McCoy. And he all of a sudden slants back to his left. He caught the Giants multiple opportunities, but there were also chances for them to bring him down if guys were in the correct position and had good leverage, which they failed to show throughout the course of this game.
You know what, Lance? You're not, I'm pretty sure you had to notice this. The Eagles might have ran the same play to the right like 4 times in a row, and we fell for it all 4 times.
Yeah. I mean, McCoy was in a comfort zone, and he just pretty much, at times, he wasn't doing anything fancy. I agree. It wasn't as if they were running, you know, different blockers his way. He was pretty much outrunning the Giants' defense, or he had 2 or 3 defenders in front of him. He faked right. He jockeyed left. All of a sudden, the Giants were crossed over, essentially, which is a basketball term I think is relatable here, and they were looking at McCoy from behind. You're right. I mean, it wasn't anything fancy. It wasn't as if Philly was digging deep in its playbook to catch the Giants off guard. It was man-to-man assignments that were just flat-out beat tonight. And appreciate the phone call, Steve, as I want to get to a couple more callers here on our post-game show. The lines are still open. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. We go to Edward in White Plains. Edward, what's happening?
Hey, how are you? I mean, I feel that this Tampa Bay game we played in this Carolina game really got, you know, it wasn't one of Eli Manning's best games, and he was really chucking the ball downfield a lot. I mean, Hickson had, a couple people had some diving, leaping grabs, you know, and it's all good when it works, but we really didn't need to play that game, and it was a close game. So, you know, when we got that ball in the red zone, I think we had done a good job in that drive of throwing short, running the ball, being patient, and it was like 1st and 9. I was like, oh, the Giants should definitely run here, you know. Let's just try to punch it in on the ground. And they flip it up and throw it. And the same thing with the last drive. There was lots of time on the clock, and it was just throw it, deep, 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 deep. And we just really threw the game away. It was, you know, the defense had their mistakes too, but I mean, we were right there, and we just we didn't really maintain our composure. It was just looking for the deep person every time. I don't know if, you know, obviously missing Nick hurts, but, you know, the Eagles just ran the ball, and, like, we didn't. That's all there was to it.
Yeah, I mean, on the ground, the Giants certainly not too pleased with the numbers. Bradshaw was 13 for 39. Longest run was 9 yards, which actually came on that drive that you just alluded to, which resulted in the Eli Manning pick. And Andre Brown had 5 carries for 14. So they would have liked better production out of those two running backs. Heinoski did have a run for 4. And had they had the balance, perhaps Manning wouldn't have thought that he would have to go deep at times. But you know what? I'm looking back at that drive that you just touched on, Edward. Wilson, first of all, deserves a lot of credit in today's game. He had one positive return after another. How many times did the Giants, by the way, start at or around the 50-yard line to really take pressure off of Eli Manning? And that's why it's another opportunity to just scratch your head and say how they really coughed up this opportunity despite all of the positive field position. But getting back to my point regarding the drive, it was 1st and 10 from the Philly 49. This was the drive that ended with the Manning pick. So they went a short pass to Heinoski, no gain. 2nd and 10, they go short pass to Bradshaw, they pick up 9. 3rd and 1 then from the Philly 40, Bradshaw gets no gain. And that's when they decided to go for it on 4th and 1. The Eagles don't have a safety deep, so this was good positive play calling. You catch the Eagles off guard, short pass to Victor Cruz, and he basically runs for what became a 30-yard gain, and that ended the third quarter. And to start, you get it 1st and goal right around the 10, and that's when Manning threw the pick to Cromartie. So as you just touched on, Edward, they were pretty much focusing on those short passes. They weren't trying to go for the home run. They were just trying to move the chains. And, you know, it wasn't necessarily that it was a big stretch, that pass play that resulted in the interception. It was just a matter of Cromartie being in a perfect position to catch Eli Manning off guard, and Manning probably could have thrown it a little bit deeper into the end zone. And I'm not saying Bennett would have hauled it in, but Bennett would have at least had an opportunity to make a play. It was underthrown. It was the underneath route that Cromartie cut off, and as a result, you know, the Giants are scratching their heads because they could have at least had 3 points in that situation.
Yeah, I definitely agree. But, I mean, like, I don't know, do you know how many runs, like, McCoy had, like, how many attempts?
Yeah, McCoy ran the ball 23 times tonight.
And altogether, I think you said 13 and 5, so we ran it 18, you know, and all his big runs came at the end. So it's like they should have kept knocking on the door. It was a close game. I didn't think there was a really big reason to just start chucking everything.
No, and you're right, Edward, and I appreciate the phone call. You know, part of milking the clock and part of keeping the defense tired is to continually run and pound the football. And when you do look at the numbers, LeSean McCoy outran, in terms of the carries, not the yardage on the ground, Bradshaw, Brown, and Heinoski combined. Manning threw the ball 42 times. He completed 24 passes. Now, normally, when you throw the ball 40-plus and it's a lopsided balance between the pass and the run, it's not a strong recipe for victory. And there are plenty of times where the Giants have thrown the ball 40 times and won. And you could point to all the comebacks last year. But remember, they were forced to throw the ball 40 times in those situations because they were down. They were facing a deficit. Tonight, it wasn't necessarily that situation. I mean, they were down early 7-0, then it was 7-3, then it was 10-3, then it was 10-10, 13-10, 16-10. I mean, these are not huge gaps in the score. You know, this is still a one-score game, and you can lean on the run in those situations. You don't need to completely abandon the run. They just seem to feel, based on the personnel that the Eagles threw out there. Remember, Asamoah was out for a little bit because of the eye injury, so you had Cruz with a favorable situation going up against Boykin. They looked, at least based on the personnel, they felt we need to take advantage through the air. And that's just one hypothetical situation that I'm throwing out there. I'm not saying that that was the perfect ideal strategy to have, but that, I think, weighed heavily in the game plan. The yardage per carry wasn't there today, but there were positive runs between Bradshaw and Brown that they could have at least worked them a little bit more to balance out the load, especially on that final drive, despite not having a lot of timeouts. And I think if you're at the 26-yard line, instead of throwing it to Barden down the right sideline, you probably could have taken the conservative approach, run it with Bradshaw, spike the ball, set up times for a field goal that's more within the 40 or late 30 yardage situations compared to making him get a 54-yard opportunity. And remember, if the penalty is not called, it's not a 54-yard opportunity. But the penalty was only called because they put the ball in the air. And that was probably one that they definitely would have liked to have back. Let's go to Steve in California. Steve, what's happening?
Hey, how are you?
Doing well, Steve. What you got?
Okay, a couple of things I was going to bring out. All the points everybody else said and what you said are all good points. I was going to also say that the other thing I noticed was, okay, let's give the Eagles some credit here and Andy Reid. I think in the second half they're using their tight ends and wide receivers to chip and to slow down the Giants' pass rush. It looked like Osu Minyara, Jason Pierre-Paul might have started getting a bit tired. A little worn out. They really weren't being able to get there at the end. That was kind of an interesting game plan that they came up with. They were doing that routinely. It was working. So that was another reason why the defense couldn't get the pressure on Vic. As you brought out, the Giants also lost some containment on the outside. And the other thing you brought out about the running game, I agree. The Giants didn't, they got unbalanced on the run. There were times they could have ran. And they didn't, like on the fourth and one. Even they still got the first down.
I thought that was a good play call, Steve, on the fourth and one. The safeties were not back. You know, they fell asleep. Cruz split two defenders, and it was perfect in terms of the pass. And they wound up picking up 30 yards, especially since they failed on the third and one running with Bradshaw. So I didn't really have much of a problem in terms of the play calling on that play.
Okay, yeah, I thought they got a pass interference, but I could have been wrong. You're probably right. Okay, so they got that on there. So, I mean, but honestly, I think both the in a game like this, the Giants Eagles, they're so well coached. You know, Andy Reid's an excellent coach. Coughlin's an excellent coach, and they're the two teams, I think, are so evenly matched that it's. These games can go either way. And even with the great game plan the Eagles had, the Giants, not having Akeem Nicks, still had an opportunity to win the game. I kind of felt the Eagles outplayed them today. I'll give my credit, you know, to the Eagles, and hopefully the hopefully the Giants will, the next time they play them, will get the upper hand and win the game. But those are the things I just want to say. It's like, that's basically it.
I appreciate the phone call, Steve, and certainly, you know, some valid points that you touched on. And you're right, whenever these two division rivals go head-to-head, you know, it's a very tight game. It usually comes down to the wire. Sometimes it could be the difference of just who turns the ball over more or who fails to run the ball effectively. It's the little things. It's the lack of execution or the perfect execution. Or it's who threw the better pass and who had the better deflection in terms of defending it. Really, we could sit here and dissect this game backwards and forwards. I think Philly did execute when their numbers were called and when they had opportunities. And even though they did settle for 4 field goals, they protected the football today, and they protected Michael Vick for the most part. And considering those were 2 troubling issues for them in the first 3 games, that says a lot on how they made that a priority, because they knew the Giants' front 7 was such a dangerous group, and they held their end of the bargain by basically taking the playbook and executing it to perfection on the field. So the Eagles certainly deserve a lot of credit, and he touched on the fact that they did use some 2 tight end sets to chip away at the defensive line, and that's sometimes the best way to counter the Giants' pass rush, and I think that was effective. But I also think that there were opportunities for the Giants' defense to make plays, and at times, they just got caught up and not really being able to seal off their gaps or not being able to keep up with the Sean McCoy, or I should say, more importantly, keep McCoy in front of them. But the Eagles did execute. You have to give them credit for what they were able to pull off. And on the flip side, you can also point to opportunities that the Giants let slip away or had opportunities to put points on the board and just were not able to execute, whether it be running a play for an additional yard or throwing a pass in which Manning and the receiver were on the same page. Or how about the play where David Boss didn't have an ideal snap to Eli Manning, and he basically gave him a ground ball, and Manning was forced to pretty much throw it away, or else he would have taken a sack. They would have liked that play back, perhaps get additional positive yardage there, and maybe not be put in a position where you have to throw to Barden down the right sideline. That's what I'm saying. It's basically a cause and effect here. If you execute on a play or two prior to that pass interference call, you may not even be in a position where you need to air it out. The conservative approach or the conservative game plan could very well take over the mindset if you pick up an additional 6 or 7 yards on a previous play. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Let's go to Jed in upstate New York. Jed, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well, Jed. What you got?
Hey, you know, a couple of things. I guess I like the aggressive play call, trying to move the ball down the field, even when we're, you know, in that 40-yard field goal range. I've seen plenty of kickers miss 40-yard field goals, and it drives me nuts. Teams get in that 30, 25-yard line, and they think they've got it. And they just kind of take the foot off the gas, and they missed the field goal. And, you know, so I didn't think it was all that bad. I wish it had turned out a little bit differently. But you know, I hear you talking about all the missed opportunities, and they missed a ton of opportunities, sort of the Eagles. And, you know, after the interception, after the pass interference call, after the first missed field goal, I still think we should have played another play on 3rd and 19 with 15 seconds left. Even if we don't move the ball, I think it's a good. You have 15 seconds. You know, if you're down in 7 seconds, 8 seconds, you don't have time to get anything going. But 15 seconds is a long time to run something. Run it on the sideline. If you drop it, it stops the clock. If you catch it, you go out of bounds. You stop the clock.
But what if you catch it and you're still inbounds? I think that's what.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You run it completely to the sideline.
Well, he was making the argument that if they didn't run it to the sideline or the Eagles kept them in bounds, would there have been enough opportunity to get everyone set at the line and spike?
Yeah, I'm sure there wouldn't have been. But you're telling me that Eli Manning can't determine that he's going to throw that ball to the sideline, and that's where the ball is going to go. Whether someone's there, I think 3rd and 19, you don't settle for a 54-yard field goal, and he couldn't hit it. He missed it twice. I mean, it was a bad it was a bad decision by Coughlin. Coughlin makes great decisions. He's a great coach, but I think that was a bad decision tonight.
All right, Jed, appreciate the phone call and totally understand your perspective in terms of the Giants perhaps, you know, using another play to give Lawrence Tynes a more makeable distance to go out there and get the field going. Coughlin did address that on his press conference, and for those of you who may have not had an opportunity to hear it, his concern was with 15 seconds left, had they thrown a pass, and even if Eli Manning directs it towards the sideline, and I'm basically laying out the different perspectives here. I said right off the top that I was surprised that the Giants didn't try to run an additional play. I think that 15 seconds, although it doesn't seem like a lot of time when you don't have a timeout, you can handle it, especially if you've been through those situations in practice, that you can at least try to get in a position to perhaps even gain them an additional 5 or 6 yards. That could very well be the difference between a makeable or a non-makeable field goal. But Coughlin's philosophy was he was concerned that the Eagles were going to do everything they could to prevent the Giants from getting out of bounds, or even if a pass was thrown near the sideline, they would do all they could to keep him in bounds, the receiver I'm referring to. Then the Giants would have to hustle to the line. Remember, there's no timeouts, and they would have had to spike it. Even if there was 1 or 2 seconds left, they need to get that much time left just to give Tynes an opportunity. He was concerned. So they took the conservative approach, and they said, you know what, we're just going to send him out on 3rd and 19, and we'll take our chances. Obviously, it didn't work out. And another thing, just this is a pet peeve of mine regarding football philosophy, and it didn't affect the Eagles in this situation. I still don't understand why coaches try to ice the kicker in this day and age. How many times have you seen a kicker miss a field goal at the end of the game, and a coach calls a timeout, and then all of a sudden he gets a second opportunity and he makes the field goal? So I don't know what the Eagles were thinking. If I'm a coach out there in the NFL today, I'm letting the kicker take it, because if he makes it, fine. It's a heartbreaking loss, but you know what? If he misses it, I'm going to be killing myself the rest of the year as to why I was so quick to try to ice the kicker. So it didn't cost Andy Reid and the Eagles that situation tonight, but I just don't understand. I think the Dolphins did a similar situation. Nick Folk missed one in overtime, or it was the end of regulation. I can't recall last week where Joe Philbin called the timeout, and that gave the Jets another opportunity. Folk missed the first one, wound up hitting a game. I think it was the one that tied the game. We've seen so many examples of it. You would think a coach would learn, do not call a timeout. Anyway, I digress. We get back to topic. Let's go back to the lines. We've got LP, I believe, LP in Tennessee. LP, what's going on?
Not much, my brother. What's going on today?
Hanging in there, LP. What you got?
Man, you know, if I keep watching these guys' games, man, I'm going to find myself up in some hospitals ICU. Hey, listen, you can't blame this game on all the past acts of bad plays. Now, you have to, this type of loss, you have to, most single, most significant play that resulted in this loss, you know, and then examine the cause of that. With that said, I blame this loss on the coaches, because that play, when we could have won the game with just running the ball, getting the yardage that Tynes needed to kick that field goal, that's all we had to do. We didn't have to let Eli win the game in the fourth quarter like he always does. That's history he's already made. Just go ahead and run the ball, get the yards, and kick the doggone field goal and go home. And there's no excuse what the coaches did.
I understand where you're coming from, LP, and it's easy to pretty much look at that last play and that last decision given what was on the line at the time. I'm still going to point to the missed opportunities early in the game as key contributions as to why the Giants weren't in a position to perhaps seal the game even earlier. But, you know, you're right. I know we had a caller earlier that's saying sometimes those chip shots are not necessarily guarantees that you could take, and that's why he didn't have a problem with the Giants taking an aggressive approach. But given Tynes' track record, let's at least look at it from that perspective. He's been one of the most clutch, if not the clutchest kicker in the NFL in the last couple of seasons, because of all the situations that he's been tested, that they have needed his leg or they've relied on his leg and he's come through. So in that situation, if you run the ball and you know you're within that range that Tynes has been able to excel, let's leave it on Tynes' shoulders and take our chances that way, as opposed to perhaps being a little too over-aggressive, trying to go for a touchdown perhaps, or trying to make a home run exclamation point type play. They were at the 26-yard line after getting an Ahmad Bradshaw 1-yard run, and that's definitely makeable field goal range for Lawrence Tynes. They wanted to air it out a little bit more instead of running it, and they went to Barden, and it was a very tough throw for Barden to haul in because Asamoah was in perfect position. I mean, he pretty much had Barden boxed out near the sideline, and the ball was thrown more inside. So the only way that Barden really was going to try to make an attempt at making this catch was he had to plow through Asamoah. He just didn't do it in a subtle way, and he made it very easy for the official to throw the flag. So there were multiple people that were involved in what cost the Giants. But I can't sit here and argue the point, why didn't the Giants perhaps decide to run the ball for 5 or 6 yards and try to give Tynes a more makeable field goal? That's a valid point. I know a number of you have brought that up, and I'm not going to sit here and rip that argument to pieces because it's valid. And perhaps if Tynes has to attempt a 40-yard field goal instead of 54, we may be talking about a different result right now. But if we're going to look at the game as a whole, there were other opportunities that the Giants did not execute or made head-scratching decisions that if they have an opportunity to go back, they would have done it a lot differently. The penalties, the red zone miscues. I mean, we could go on and on with the list of situations. And also better run production from what they saw earlier in the game. You know, the fact that you only get 13 carries, 39 yards from Bradshaw and just 5 from Brown for 14, based on what they did in the second half against Tampa Bay and throughout the entire game against Carolina, I think they expected to pick up where they left off, and they unfortunately didn't get that. Let's go to Ed in Maryland. Ed, what's happening?
Hey, kind of hurt. Very, very hurt. I think all Giants fans should just have your rival just – I mean, being a prideful Giants fan, just have your rival just own you like that, just 7 losses out of the last 8 games, this is really gut-wrenching. I mean, every fan I called tonight, they were right. To me, that pass interference on Barden was very questionable. I mean, the ball was going out of bounds. I mean, I know some people called and said maybe, we should just ran the ball. I was thinking on 3rd and 19, at least run the ball, and I understand what Coughlin was saying. Like taking a risk going for a play and then not getting out of bounds. But if you run the ball and then get maybe 5 or 6 yards and then he's down by contact, everybody could come to the line of scrimmage real quick and then snap the ball to spike it. So, I mean, going 3rd and 19, that's questionable there. And, you know, it seems like we always lose the Philly. It always comes down to one play that's questionable. But that pick that Eli threw in the end zone was just mind-boggling. And he actually had a similar play earlier in the game, and he's in the red zone, and I'm like, you cannot hold the ball for more than like 5 seconds in the red zone because, like, it's tighter windows, and it's just very, very hard to throw the ball. You even have to throw a quick slant, a quick passing play, or a jump ball. But when Eli's back there in the red zone at the 5-yard line, the second goal, first and goal, and you hold the ball, he got away with a pick earlier. And if it wasn't for Hickson fighting for that ball, Eli would have threw a pick earlier in the game in the end zone.
Yeah, it was the Hughes was in a position to make an interception, and Hickson luckily knocked the ball away. I know the exact play.
Exactly. And I was saying, I'm like, Eli, you cannot hold the ball that long in the red zone. It's deadly. You either have to throw a quick play or throw it away. And then, you know, like with Eli, it's like he's great, but then it's like when he makes the bad plays, it just really kills you. I don't know how you get a first and goal, you throw a pick in the end zone like that, and it was a horrible pick. Like, Bennett, it wasn't even open. It was like 3 Eagles there. So if you want to throw a high for Bennett, throw it somewhere where he could catch the ball. And that was a game-changing play. And Coughlin talks about turnovers. Well, we lost a turnover battle, 1-0. And if we at least get a field goal on that play, on that drive, that's the game right there. I mean, it was a good game. Steve Brown played well for Kenny Phillips, and I want to know if Kenny Phillips is okay or if that another season-end injury. But I'm just like, this is tough. Now we're 0-2 in the East, and I mean, if this is the Cowboys, I'm not too mad about the Cowboys loss because we always beat the Cowboys. But to keep losing to the Eagles, that really, really hurts me. Like that should hurt every Giants fan. And Coughlin, they need to find a way. And mark the calendars, week 17. They have to beat the Eagles. We cannot get swept by the Eagles again. That's all I have to say. But this is a tough loss. Hopefully we get the rebound and we play the Skins, I think, week 8 and the Cowboys after that. We have to win those games because being now 0-2 in the East, that's a hole right there.
Absolutely, and Ed, appreciate the phone call. Bottom line is you got to beat your division rivals if you want to win the division and you want to solidify a playoff spot. That goes without saying. But they will have the Cowboys and they will have the Eagles later on in this season. They will have an opportunity to redeem themselves. But it is a tough hole right now, given that of the four games, two were against the division, and the two losses that they suffered were against those two divisional opponents. That's why it really hurts them from that perspective, and it could come back to haunt them when it comes down to a tiebreaker here or there, as you mentioned, when they play the Eagles later on in the season. Remember last year, there was the tiebreaker situation at play when they went up against the Cowboys. They had lost twice to the Redskins, overcame that. So, you know, there's a lot of football to be played. The implications of what yet to come is really hard to predict at this point, given that there's so many football games. Right now, we're still dealing with a very small sample size. But getting back to what Ed brought up, and he did touch on the Kenny Phillips injury. Kenny Phillips had sprained his knee. That's what the team is wording it earlier in the game, and he was doubtful to return. Clearly didn't return. So he will probably undergo further tests once he returns to the Timex Center, and then they'll take it from there. Right now, it's really too early to speculate as to the severity of the injury. Right now, they're just classifying it as a sprain, and I'm sure they'll undergo an MRI or further test to determine if there's anything additional that they should be concerned about. But Stevie Brown did fill in. He had played a good game against the Carolina Panthers when he came in when Antro Roll got hurt. So he's a guy that has plenty of experience under his belt, and if they have to rely on him, that may be a guy that they're certainly going to have to turn to consistently. Remember, Tyler Sash will come back after the four-game suspension, which has fully played out after this Philly game. So he is eligible to return for their next game against the Cleveland Browns, and probably you can make the argument the timing couldn't be any better, especially with Antrell Roll and Kenny Phillips hurting. Let's try to squeeze in a couple more calls here, 201-939-4513. We've got Kevin in Maryland. Kevin, what's happening?
Hi, how you doing? I want to thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I thoroughly enjoyed the game, being a Giants fan, but I figured it was just a little bit too much passing. Start of the game, first play, pass. So I thought we could have cut back just a little bit and get the run going. Just a question, though, of Andre Brown. Did he get hurt, actually? Because I didn't see him come back in after a while.
No, Andre Brown, there's no reported injury that I heard about. He was fine.
Okay, all right. But then on just talking and listening to a lot of the callers, that last drive I thought was a killer. A minute and 52 seconds is plenty for Eli, being the elite man that he is. A lot of concern is why not work the middle of the field with Cruz, as he was doing fine earlier on. And not even getting Ramses Barton in the mix, or even Randall, and mixing up plays there. So it was just a little concern there. Overall, it was a good game. I'm not going to put it all on Eli in a sense, but that pick was a killer when they had that drive to take the lead. I thought maybe that was a game switcher a little bit for the Eagles to get some momentum. And they seem to get their confidence going, and they started making plays, especially with their run. But that's pretty much all I have, but just your thoughts.
No, I'd appreciate the phone call, Kevin. Thanks a lot. And it was a killer, that interception. I touched on that earlier on in the show. You know, the momentum really swung because after that, all of a sudden, the Eagles' offense started to click. And it caught the Giants' defense off guard, too, because I thought they were expecting the next time they would get back on the field, the Giants would have had a lead. And it was a big disappointment that the Giants let an opportunity to score slip away. And it was a bad pass by Eli Manning. He mentioned that he did not see Rodgers Cromartie come in. But you could have made the argument, if you're going to go to Martellus Bennett, throw into the deep, far left corner of the end zone and throw it high so that only Bennett can get to it. Instead, he threw it underneath, and that enabled Cromartie to get perfect position to haul it in. And as a result, the Giants fall 19-17 because of plays like that, and also penalties that piled up. Now, with respect to the passing plays on that last drive, listen, there was a minute 52 remaining, and they moved down the field. I mean, they got big plays. They had Hickson. They had Cruz. So it wasn't necessarily an issue of getting into field goal range. That they achieved fine. The problem was, once they got into field goal range, the decision-making as to once you're there, do you take your foot off the pedal a little bit Do you play it conservatively because you know now, okay, all you need is 3 points to win. Let's not try to press the envelope. And it was 2nd and 9 from the Philadelphia 26. And that was when they went down the right sideline to Barden, and there was the pass interference call. Perhaps you run, you pick up 2 or 3 yards, you're looking at about a 3rd and 6 from the Philadelphia 23. And you're looking at about a 40-yard field goal. 40 to 54, that's a big difference. 14 yards sometimes can be the difference between making or missing a field goal. Now, 54 is not impossible, but you always want to make it easier on your kicker. They wanted to make it real easy on their kicker, and that's why they decided to air it out. And given what Barden did to Asamoah to pick up the penalty, the Giants probably wish they kept the ball on the ground, spiked it, and then let Tynes have a shot from 40 yards out. It didn't work out that way, and it's a hard one to swallow because of the fact that they're 0-2 in the division, and they're 2-2 heading into a game that on paper looks like a gimme against a Cleveland Browns team that struggled. But let's not forget, the Browns gave the Ravens a real tough test a couple of nights ago, and they're going to be well-rested because they're going to have the lengthy week. So this is a game that the Giants can't overlook, and I'm sure you're going to hear a lot about that during the week. Cleveland's a young team. They're going to be without their top corner in Hayden, but they've got some playmakers. Trent Richardson is a guy that if they pound the football with him, he can continually move the chains. I don't want to look too far ahead because I know a lot of you are still digesting this loss. But the Browns, their record may not show that they're a tough team, but it's a dangerous game next week. It's a game that they cannot afford to come out and let opportunities in the red zone slip away, because when you have an opportunity to put an opponent away, you've got to lay down the hammer. We go to Charles in Alabama. Charles, what's happening?
Hey, Lance, how you doing?
Doing well, Charles. What you got?
Tough loss tonight, and I do agree with you about Trent Richardson living down here in Alabama. I got a chance to see him up close for about 2 to 4 years. Trap game for them. But just quickly on tonight's game, again, tough loss. There's not a whole lot to analyze or overanalyze. It came down to a few key plays. But just one point that I heard in Coach Coughlin's press conference, he alluded to the fact that they expected the Eagles to turn the ball over tonight. I guess he was talking about Michael Vick, and I wondered how much that really impacted their game plan coming into this game. We all expected that. You know, we've seen how he's played the first few games. Did they rest on their laurels? Did they expect those turnovers? That's my question.
Well, that's a great question, Charles. You know, it's something that I don't necessarily thought too deeply about, because I don't think you can ever think and assume that a team's going to cough up the football. I know the track record speaks volumes, the fact that they had 12 interceptions, but to come into a game, and I actually would be curious to go back to the press conference because I didn't hear that point, if Coughlin
alluded. He made a point there. Just listen to that. He alluded to that about turning the ball over. And again, I wondered how much that played in tonight's game plan.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think it factored into the game plan that they wanted to aggressively go after Michael Vick. And that I don't really fault them for, because I think they felt when teams have pressured Michael Vick and they forced him to make questionable decisions, it has led to turnovers. So the Giants' philosophy was, if we really throw aggressiveness his way and try to pressure him and try to bring him down, perhaps he will make a boneheaded decision and that could give us good field position. I think that certainly factored into the discussion and the game plan. But past that, I don't see what else the Giants could have assumed. I mean, McCoy has not really coughed up the football for the most part. It's really been Vic. So that's why I think the game plan heavily revolved around, we've got to go after Vic, we've got to get a fair share of hits on Michael Vick, and we got to hope that he takes his eyes or he takes his mind off the football and we'll be in prime position to scoop it up and head back the other way. I definitely think that played a role in the philosophy.
But we've seen Michael Vick play for how many years now?
Multiple seasons. They've had plenty of good looks and plenty of good
And I would argue that this was probably one of the most conservative games he has played.
True. That's a good point.
They played not to lose the game, which is very interesting and a very smart game plan on the part of the Eagles.
Well, I also think that that has to do with Andy Reid's philosophy. He's playing for his job this season. And I think that, you know, he doesn't want...
True.
He cannot afford to take his fair share of chances. Let's leave it at that with respect to this season. But that's another great point, Charles. You know, you could make the argument that in previous seasons, in previous games, you know, Vic may take his fair share of chances to run up the field and put him in a situation where he's going to get hit, and he may not have the ball securely against his body, and that's what led to turnovers. He took one run today for 13 yards that really hurt the Giants. Outside of that, I know he had 6 for 49, but there wasn't a run that I felt, wow, Vic is really putting himself out there to dry. For the most part,
he had the one play in the red zone where he ran over to the left
and he gave up on it.
He
took the sack. Yeah, I mean, so you're right. You can, when you look at this game from top to bottom, it's easy to say, you know what, the Eagles said, we'll take our chances when the Giants defense presents it. But outside of that, if the Giants defense is all over our receivers, Vic, you don't have the green light to really run up the gut. You're just going to have to go down and we'll take the field goal. And I think that that philosophy was definitely apparent for all four quarters. I mean, he did throw for only 241 yards, and a lot of those yardage came from short passes, and he let his receivers pick up chunks of yardage after the catch. It wasn't necessarily him going for the home run with his arm or his legs. Overall, you're right, very conservative, and at the end of the day, they protected the football. They won the battle of the turnovers. It was a slim battle. The Giants only turned the ball over once, but you know what? That turned out to be
the
most costly turnover.
That was the big turning point in the game. We know that.
Absolutely. Charles, appreciate the phone
call.
Thanks so much. You got it. And that was a very interesting observation there by Charles. A conservative approach, for the most part, by the Eagles. You know, the numbers don't lie. When you look at what McCoy put up, clearly 123 yards, but at the end of the day, you know, 23 carries to get 123 yards. It wasn't as if he was doing anything fancy. They weren't running end-arounds. They weren't taking their chances, and they've run end-arounds before against the Giants, specifically with respect to DeSean Jackson or even Macklin, and Macklin was absent. He had one catch for 7 yards. So you talk about the Giants being in a position to win this game without Akiem Nicks. The Eagles were in this position, and they did win this game without one of their best playmakers, which was Macklin. And Brent Celek was even relatively quiet. DeSean Jackson made some plays to move the chains. They really worked McCoy. He was their workhorse, and it wasn't surprising because last week he had 16 touches. He had 13 carries and 3 catches. Tonight, 23 carries and 3 catches. He had 26 touches tonight. 10 more touches than he had against the Arizona Cardinals. They felt, you know what, we're going to keep the ball on the ground. We're going to let McCoy do what he does, especially if we give him some space to maneuver. And we're going to have Michael Vick make some short passes, move the chains. When he has the opportunity down the field and the guys are wide open, for example, DeSean Jackson was open in the end zone. He threw that ball. DeSean Jackson was open down the left sideline for a 32-yard grab. He threw the ball. But it was rare that Michael Vick was throwing the ball into double coverage or even threading the needle. Eli Manning threaded the needle tonight. Vick, not so much. The Eagles did not take a lot of chances, and it didn't cost them. No turnovers. There's a team that turned the ball over 12 times in the first 3 games. To put up a 0 tonight, Andy Reid and company have no complaints with respect to that, especially since they won the game with that philosophy. The Giants had one turnover, and as we just discussed, that one turnover could have been a touchdown or a field goal for the Giants, and they lose by 2 points. You give them 3 points, you give them 7 points. That's the difference between a win and a loss. I think that's a fair point to leave the discussion tonight. A heartbreaker. I know a lot of Giants fans are hurting, and it could be a very long week. They will be back to work next Sunday. They get the Cleveland Browns at home at MetLife Stadium. Kickoff 1 o'clock, so we'll have our pregame show start at 12:30. We'll have the full game broadcast here on Giants.com. We'll take your phone calls leading up to kickoff. We'll be with you between every commercial break and at the half and postgame. We will take your phone calls once again. Appreciate all the callers for chiming in. I know this one is, a very tough one to swallow for the Giants, and it hurts because it's 0-2 in the division, 2-2 overall. But there's a lot of football to be played. They still have the Redskins twice. They've got the Cowboys and the Eagles again. And getting back on the track, on the right track, I should say, will start when they get the Cleveland Browns at home next week. As I mentioned, 1 o'clock kickoff and a 12:30 pregame start right here on Giants.com. For those of you who didn't have an opportunity to call in, John Schmelk and I will be back tomorrow morning, 9:30 to 10:30, continuing to break down this game, and we will continue to take your phone calls
and read your tweets at hashtag Giants Chat. So that's another opportunity to chime in on the conversation. The final score, once again, the Eagles edge the Giants 19-17 as Lawrence Tynes misses a 54-yard field goal as time expires. Giants had opportunities earlier. At the end of the day, they just could not execute, and the Phillies, I was going to call them. We're still in baseball season here. The Eagles, we got to give them their respect tonight. The Eagles executed when they needed to do, and they protected the football. And that was basically the big difference in this football game. So 19-17 is the final. Eagles improved to 3-1. Giants fall to 2-2. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 9:30 to 10:30, taking your phone calls. I'm Lance Meadow. Special thanks to my producer, John Vasquez. Have a good one.